Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Welcome, everybody. This is End Times Friday. Last week, we had our good friend Denny Weinberg, and this is now part two of kind of an update, with Eric and Rabbi Ephraim. We have the opportunity to get a perspective from inside Israel of what's going on, and that's been extremely beneficial. I have lots of comments that people say, man, that's so informative and it's so helpful. And Denny is bringing more of a global perspective today and last week of what's happening on America's side and then the dynamics with it. We talked about the college campuses and the anti-Semitism and the movement of that, of what's at least an opportunity to kind of have that settle down a little bit, although we know ultimately that it doesn't. And this time, Denny, we want to talk about the dynamic within the Trump administration relative to Israel and the Middle East, and then Israel's position and reaction to it all. So let me try to frame up the question of the Trump administration has become very active in connecting to the Middle East. And Trump has been an ally of Israel, Netanyahu, and certainly supported it and said they would support it. A little bit of a difference this time around is that Trump is directly engaging the Muslim countries in particularly commerce right now and how all that's going to play out. And he's been negotiating with Hamas. He's been negotiating with Iran. And it doesn't appear that Israel is joining that direct negotiations. So the question is, well, are they doing it underneath those negotiations and still getting connectivity with Israel and knowing what Israel is going to do or wants to do? And then how does Israel face it all when there may be a different outcome that we think is a good idea, but they know is not for them? Can you help frame that all up and where do we go with that?
Yeah, it does feel like we're in a different time right now, even compared to a couple of months ago. Think about how little we're talking about Hezbollah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think about how little we're even talking about Hamas and Gaza. I mean, we know there's something going on in Gaza. There's a new initiative there. And there's, reframed arguments about whether or not aid is getting to the people. But right. It's nothing compared to where it was a few months ago, where it was every single day, every single day. And even the Houthis, there was a couple of missiles that were shot over a couple of days ago. None of them hit from the Houthis. But it's small news compared to the bigger question about everybody scratching their head saying, what's really going on? And we know that there are these much bigger talks underway, not just with Iran, but also with some of the other wealthier nations about intercommerce. And so it feels to me that because of that, those are where the real discussions are. I think that Trump believes he's got an enormous bargaining chip that's never really been played in these kinds of world affairs discussions, and that is intercountry commerce and intercountry investment and trading off tariffs for something else. I think Trump always believed that was a powerful, unused tool, but I think it's actually working for him. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where all of this is occurring. And in the case of Iran, Iran's not looking to invest in the United States. Iran's now is struggling, really struggling. There's internal conflict. There's a rebellion going on between the people and the clerics, and we haven't seen that in a long, long time. They're running out of food. They're running out of energy. And I think the big deal that could be played is we will provide you a solution for your economic issues, a long-term solution for your economic issues. You will not only abandon your nuclear program, but you will eliminate all your stockpiles, all of them, and you'll receive your nuclear material from a third-party source, something like that. So I think they're miles away, but that's how Trump works. He starts with, positions that are so polar opposite that you work your way towards the center. And I'm guessing what's on the table is something that started that extreme, but both sides can see something in the middle that they can live with. and that they need.
And now talk about that just for a second, because we do know, and Eric and Rabbi reinforce this, is that literally the economic conditions in Iran are really dire.
Yeah, really dire.
And we're talking about the population not having, you know, food, water, fuel, you know, ability to buy things, et cetera. By the way, in a country that is extremely resource rich, I mean, they could translate their resources, oil, into tremendous economic benefit, which they don't. So here's a question. If almost every other country, and under that condition, and America comes along and says, look, we'll reestablish things for you to have a long-term positive, beneficial economy, and your people will really thrive. And by the way, it's not that complicated in Iran, quite frankly. Do you think that Iran cleric, and this is, these are the dictators at the very top, who are very idealistic, by the way. And the idealistic is over above everything else, they want to eliminate the infidel, which would start with Israel. I mean, all of Israel, just eliminate Israel, eliminate Christians, then eliminate other Muslims who don't believe the way they believe. I mean, so it's deep. Is that gonna supersede their logistical thought of, well, maybe we should moderate here and let's get our economy back together, which would be typical, but doesn't seem like that's where they go. What do you think about that?
I think it depends on how bad things get. My one lens into life in Iran is through a guy who used to work for me at my previous job. It was born in Iran, schooled in the West, and now is a successful tech story. But he has family, and he would go back and visit, and I'd ask him what it was like, and he goes, beautiful place. And he referred to himself as Persian. He spoke Farsi. But that was the world. He grew up under the Shah before all of this. And he views these clerics of having, you know, they're out there. They're all nuts, you know, kind of, they're all out there. And if you just avoid them, life goes on. Hmm. And I think that's probably how it was for a while. You just don't get yourself into trouble. And, you know, they won't sort of bother you if you don't bother them, kind of thing. Yeah. But I think it's changed now. Now it's not like that. Now it's like life is miserable. And because it's miserable and there's pressure on them, there's a lot of pushback. The common Persian citizen is experiencing the republic, you know, the cleric control in a much more direct way personally. Mm. And then and then there's all this, at some point they start realizing that there is even threat of annihilation, depending on how this all goes. So I suspect there will be more and more pressure from within as things get worse, but it doesn't suggest a very quick resolution, except for Trump has not come off of this statement. You can either have it in this resolve column A, or you can have this resolve column B. And so he continues to say, all I have to do is tell Israel, go for it, and you're in column B. And I think that is the pressure that's new, because, you know, the previous administration couldn't have even played that card. They didn't have any, there was no credibility to it. This one does. So I still think that what Trump's trying to do is put a economically attractive package on the table in exchange for something they don't want to do, which is give up their nuclear ambitions. And as long as you live and run your country within a certain corridor, we'll leave you alone. But see, the other side of it is, you got to believe that there is a battle plan that can be executed at any moment, and it'll put an end to all this, right? Yeah. If you don't believe, I think that's got to be true, because otherwise Trump would be making that noise more. And Netanyahu would be, there'd be a lot more news about arm wrestling between the United States and Israel, and you don't hear anything. There's nothing being said about, I'm so kind of surprised. Nothing being said about U.S. and Israel, good or bad, just silence.
Yeah. So if you look at let's say that the issue, because of the development of their nuclear fission material, is, okay, Trump is playing his game, and we know, begin just watching it over the first, half of the year, he's extreme, does an extreme thing like he did with China, and that hasn't been fully resolved yet. And so it's going to take a while, and take time.
Yeah. Take some time.
And that's his kind of his modus operandi is do extreme. Over time, we'll get to a solution, which, by the way, the economy and the stock market's waiting for.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But okay, so Iran knows that a little bit. And while they're in this waiting period of time to come to some answer, they are continuing to get closer and closer and closer to the ability to deliver a nuclear bomb when they're continuing to develop it. So it seems to me the real issue is that will Trump be successful before they finish that? If he's not, don't you think Israel, since they have knowledge of it, will either will they have to ask permission or will they just go in and do it? They said they're not going to allow it to happen. And number two, biblically, we know they don't.
Yeah.
They don't
yeah.
get to a point where they actually annihilate Israel. What do you think is going to happen here? Because this is maybe, you know, next 2 or 3 months of activity. Is Israel going to take action anyway? Because they can't wait. They can't let them develop that bomb.
Yeah, it feels like there's, it's one of these things where you've got, you know, two charts, one going up and one going down, and they cross at a point.
Yes.
And at that crossing point, there no longer is, you no longer stay on the same curve. You've got to go the other way. So I think the timing issue, by the way, are also playing into the Iran side. The reason they seem to be speeding up their centrifuge activity,
yeah,
just in the last week or two, they're suddenly moving from, you know, this grade uranium to that.
Yes.
And evidently, it doesn't take a lot of additional effort to go once you've got to the level.
By the way, so our audience is that when you jump to that higher level, that's what gives you the ability to develop the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
So like you said, they're accelerating. They're actually accelerating their ability to get there, and they're getting there.
So they have delivery capability, supposedly. They have, with conventional weapons that and rockets that can carry a nuclear device and trigger it, and long distance, intercontinental. And so that's one of the timers, is that thing. When do they get to the place where that is now a foregone conclusion? And all bets are off at that point if they haven't reached a settlement on the other issues. But I think if the Iranians understand how Trump works, which is now everybody in the world does, one of the things you would do if you say, well, he's going to take an extreme position here, you'd take an extreme position the other way. And so it may be, it's kind of like Russia saying, before I agree to settling what's going on in Ukraine, I'm going to take a whole lot more territory. So, right, I'm taking it just so I can give it up and trade it, and I'm back where I started. That's the negative when you understand Trump's negotiating style and him doing it over and over. He's always got to have another.
This is a side note, and we won't spend any time on it, but the Ukraine just had a massive drone attack and basically eliminated a lot of bombers in Russia. That's a big
dynamic. Surprising.
That'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
But see, I think that's, in a way, even that, the way Trump avoids that is he's always got another variable at play that you're not thinking about. Mm-hmm. And for all we know, that drone attack was part of, when it gets to a certain point, you know, we'll, you know, that's ready to go. And I think that there's probably lots of those in the Middle East related to Iran and especially Israel's attack capability. You do have a sense that this negotiation will only go so far. And I think the fact that Trump is saying we're almost there, he's sort of saying the time is almost up. And we'll either be there or we won't, but it won't be any more dragging it along.
Yeah. What do you think, Israel, what's their position right now and perspective on all that? Since they are committed to making sure that they aren't, you know, annihilated by Iran. What do you think? Where do you think they are with this?
They have said, and the United States has said, Iran will not have nuclear capabilities. They've said it unequivocally. So I suspect that behind the scenes, there's lots and lots of Israeli-U.S. conversations, maybe at a cabinet level, because I think Trump's got lots of people on his cabinet that speak as well for his point of view as he does on this issue with Israel. And I think the Israeli government trusts some of those folks too. So I believe what's already in the can is 2 or 3 attack plans ready to go, you know, with very, very short notice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what I think too, is that because we aren't hearing the breaking away from Israel from the United States, who would be setting it up is, hey, because we are going to go this way, independent of the US. I think they're not directly involved, but they're involved in the whole thing. And they know, and I believe Trump's card is actually ultimately will say, okay, Israel, go ahead.
That's exactly
go ahead and do what they're going to do.
It'll just be like this.
Yeah.
that's how much information there'll be, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plan
yeah,
number two tomorrow.
It's interesting. I think, you know, because of, Saudi Arabia particularly, I think they're in that same spot. I think they, they are going to, in a sense, they can't afford it, Iran, to develop the nuclear bomb. And they can't take it out, but they can say to Israel, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll look the other way. Yeah. And I think that's, it's not a surprise if you believe that, that he's got so much going on with, you know, in Qatar and in the UAE and with Saudi Arabia and, you know, the other ones that are part of the Abraham Accords too. I think that is going on in parallel. And I'll bet part of those negotiations are not just commerce and investments, but they're also, you know, what happens if, you know, what are they really, what will they tolerate related to Israel and Iran, or Israel and the United States and Iran? But it's probably characterized as Israel and Iran. And how do we make that okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the one interesting thing, and this is, you know, when you think of the way things have operated in the past, because of those very, very, very sensitive negotiations, they're going, like you say, all over the place. We're not seeing a lot of leaks.
Yeah.
Of here's what's really going on underneath the scene. We're not hearing that stuff, you know. So that's remarkable.
That's remarkable.
That they're able, whoever they got involved here is honoring these confidential things that aren't leaking to the press, because usually that's how it goes, is that you leak out and you start, you know, causing difficulty. As we look here, Denny, therefore, at the next, let's say, month or two, what should we all be watching for? What are signals that we should pay attention to? And that, you know, obviously we'll keep asking Eric and Rabbi to and you to keep helping us understand things, but what should our audience watch for? Because this is significant relative to everything that's happening in the world.
I think that, you know, we talked on the last time we were together about the campus activity. As I said, I don't think that's going to get better. I think it's going to get more troubled. And so, you know, kind of following that is still important. I think there's several Jewish national organizations, the Anti-Defamation League and a few of these others, Republican Jewish Coalition. There are some really important signposts about what the attitude for the more conservative part of the Jewish, American Jewish world are. Any signs that they start becoming more vocal about Israel and about anti-Semitism, but really about Israel. And then I think we're going to see something in the next, I think, 2 weeks on the negotiations with Iran, something. Mm. And it'll either be that they're stalling, and that's probably a real likely possibility that they'll be stalling, even though Trump says they're going swimmingly. The idea that they're stalling out and he's now being forced to consider alternatives, I think we watch for that trigger. And because I just can't imagine there's not an action that Israel's going to take. I would have thought it would have happened by now. I don't think time is, you know, there's a lot of time left on that. And then does anything come out of the tariff conversations and any further activity that could be regarded as Abraham Accord broadening? Mm. And I'm sort of suspecting that's coming too. I don't know how quickly though, but yeah, that's it. I don't think what's going on in Russia and what's going on with China really play directly into this, but I suspect there's lots of other conversations around the world on tariffs that do have some interplay.
Yeah.
I think those are the main issues.
On the tariff side of it, do you feel that there will be a settling in of all that, because the economic, you know, everybody's kind of in a waiting mode of, you know, well, we got to decide, see what's really going to happen before we, you know, go back to investment and the housing market, et cetera. Do you feel like that's going to get settled in this summer, and that everything will settle in so that people understand it? Or do you think it's just going to be an ongoing issue for a while?
You know, I don't know if you saw this on Friday, but there was a report on the trade deficit for the country.
Yep.
For whatever's the last month. And it was the biggest improvement in trade deficit since they've been keeping records in 1 month. And the reporter who was the most shocked by this is a long-term business commentator from CNBC, the business news, MSNBC. Yeah. Is that the one that's,
yeah,
it's the business news for the NBC.
Right.
And he was going, and this guy is clearly, has always been a very liberal finance guy, but he just said, this cannot be attributed to anything other than success in this tariff policy.
Yeah,
it was amazing. So we may see more and more evidence that this tariff into negotiations, but in the meantime, collecting billions of dollars of tariffs and no inflation as a result, that we've got data that's now suggesting that inflation is completely under control. And everybody said these tariffs, even at this stage, would have, you know, rekindled inflation. So there may be some financial reality that starts to play out very quickly that shocks everybody.
Yeah.
even really well-schooled financial and economic geniuses. It's just somehow this thing is sort of working, it seems.
Do you think it'll be a kind of a settling of into the whatever the system's going to become, it'll all settle in the summer? Or do you think it'll just be an ongoing thing throughout the rest of the year? Because uncertainty right now is what's causing the economy to kind of stall out of when they're not sure which direction it's going to go.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to end. I think this is going to be a while before we see clarity on this. Hmm. My understanding is to write one of these agreements, to finalize it. These are massive documents, massive, two Fortune 10 companies, merging. It's that kind of thing. They're very complicated. And they can only do so many at a time. So I think for that reason, if there's 175 countries all wanting to get into tariff negotiations, it's about picking which ones to do first. And in the meantime, all the rest of them are being subject to tariffs on imports.
Right.
And
so
if there's no inflation that results from that, or not, material inflation that results from this, there's no reason to accelerate it, to do it any faster than you can do it well. And I don't know if there's a single one of these that's finalized yet. They're all in concept. I think there's a couple that's really close. I expect all summer long, we're going to be doing tariff negotiations and little by little, they're going to start dribbling out. Finalized our EU deal. We finalized Trump gets up and signs it on one of his books. He's got 175 of those events in front of him. He probably likes the idea of doing one a week.
Well, Denny, thank you so much for sharing this, particularly to help us understand the dynamic of Israel and U.S. and Iran, particularly, which is really where the action is. And so we'll all be watching for that. And we know, biblically, two things that you've said is, one, it's a spiritual aspect of why is people, the world against Israel, because it's a spiritual thing, principalities and powers. And the enemy knows that he needs to eliminate Israel, which is going to be the last vestige of actually Christianity on earth at the end. So that's important, the battle, and that's why it happens. And then two is that Israel makes it through to the end, which means they're not eliminated. We know that Iran is not, for whatever they do, isn't successful in a nuclear bomb over Israel. It doesn't happen. So we know that. It'll be interesting to see, to watch it. So thank you so much. Father, we just lift up Denny and thank you for his just perspective and the ability to communicate that to us where we understand where it is. We are going to pray and we watch for what is next, that we can understand it. And then where does that wind up relative to how you want us to live and to understand going forward? So we pray for a blessing on Denny and Allie and their family and his continuing ability to receive wisdom and revelation from you. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Denny. Always a pleasure to have you join the conversation with us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we'll see you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.